بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وحكمة وعلما تقبلا أما بعد welcome and very happy to see all of you today for this today's class which will be the 10th class in the classes of Tlahara or purification and we're beginning a new chapter we started last week about a very, very interesting chapter, a very important chapter, which is regarding the prohibition of gold and silk for men. If you remember the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he picked up some silk and some gold, and he said, these two things Allah has forbidden for the men of my ummah, and he has made it permissible for the women of the ummah. So based on that hadith, we talked about some of the great wisdom of Allah's teachings, Allah's rulings, and from the importance of learning about the hikmah of the Sharia is so that we can explain Islam to the non-Muslims, so that when they learn about the rulings of Islam, they see that everything in Islam is according to the fitrah of human beings, according to what is correct, what is natural, and what is best for the maslaha, for the benefit of human beings. So let's start out by seeing which of you remember what are some of the reasons or wisdoms why Islam has forbidden gold and silk for men and not for women. See if anybody can remember from last week. What did the ulama they say? There's a number of opinions that we talked about, but see if anybody can remember any of that. Let's see, who was here last week? You were here last week. Do you remember anything?
Yeah, I remember. To prevent the heart of force from being broken.
Very good, very good. To prevent the breaking the hearts of the poor. When the poor, all people, they know the value of gold. Poor and rich, young and old. So if they see people drinking and using cups and containers with gold, it's going to hurt their feelings. It'll be very hard. And in order to prevent that harm to the poor, Islam being the just religion that respects both poor and rich, it said that we shouldn't drink from those containers because the poor, they can't even afford to barely have clay containers. And they see somebody drinking from gold, it would be very hard on the hearts of the poor. That's very good. That's one of the reasons. Does anybody remember? Very good. Jazakallah khair, brother. May Allah reward you. Inshallah, anybody else remember another reason? Very good. The ulama, they mentioned that Islam, it wants to encourage the man to be according to his fitrah, to his manliness, and for the woman to be according to her femininity, her what is suited to her nature. So for a man, if he's wearing silk and gold, and these are things, silk is something soft, and he's supposed to be manly to defend Islam and to be strong, then this is against his nature, against the manly nature. But for a woman, the woman, her nature is softness. Her nature is rahman, dealing with children. So silk and gold is appropriate for women. And this is something that Islam, from its wisdom, was to allow each gender to have special traits or special qualities that are befitting of each other. And this is beneficial within the society. If women, they have certain things that are befitting to her nature, her soft nature, and for men, they have things that are befitting his nature, this allows that men and women to each have their own distinct, according to their fitrah. They retain their manliness, the women retain their femininity, and this leads to better relations within the society. And so that was from the wisdom of Islam also. And there was one other main reason that the scholars mentioned. Does anybody remember?
It's used as a currency.
Very good. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. The gold and silver is used as a currency. It's a commodity. So if people were to use gold and silver to decorate their houses and fill it with pots and pans and everything made out of gold, then this would lead to preventing gold from being traded in society. It would lead to the hoarding of the wealth and preventing it from being exchanged. And as we know, it's very important to exchange things in society in order for people to have... for the economy to be strong amongst people. So in order to avoid, prevent that, Islam forbade the using of gold and silver for instruments, for cups and glasses and plates, and anything else like that. So this is what we talked about last week, and today we have another hadith, similar to what we talked about last week. When the hadith last week, it talked about the prohibition. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not drink in cups made out of gold and silver. And that was the prohibition. But now, say somebody has a cup made out of gold. There's a king or some rich person and he drinks from that cup. What is the punishment for that? What is the result of what he does? This is what the next hadith will talk about. And this hadith was narrated by Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, who said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ الَّذِي يَشْرَبُ فِي الْإِنَاءِ الْفِضَّةِ إِنَّمَا يُجَرْجِرُ فِي بَطْنِهِ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ. And in another narration, it said نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ with a fatha or a dhamma on the word نَارَ, and we'll talk about the beauty of this difference in the two narrations. So this hadith, it means that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever drinks in a silver vessel is only gulping the fire of hell into his stomach. This hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. So what we see in this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the punishment for drinking from a silver vessel is that he's drinking fire into his stomach. So what about gold? Gold is even more, it comes under the tahrim, or even more. But the reason why Ibn Hajar, he mentioned this hadith, is because when the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not drink from containers or utensils of gold and silver, somebody might think that he was saying this as a type of recommendation to prevent people from being ostentatious or showing off or becoming inclined towards the dunya. And they might say that this is a type of karaha. Karaha means dislike, something that's disliked in Islam, but not something that's absolutely forbidden. Just like it's disliked for any type of ostentation in Islam. But in order to clarify that this drinking from these containers is absolutely haram, Ibn Hajar, he brought this hadith, which shows that the actual punishment of drinking from a container made of gold and silver is that he's drinking fire into his belly. He's drinking fire into his belly. And as you know, that drinking from goblets made out of gold and made out of crystal and diamond, this is makruh, but it's not haram. But this hadith, it makes it clear that using the gold and the silver, this is absolutely forbidden. This is not allowed at all. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّمَا يُجَرْجِرُ يُجَرْجِرُ. This is a very interesting word in Arabic. And the scholars of Arabic language, they talk about words in Arabic that indicate their meaning by the very sound. يُجَرْجِرُ, it literally means to gargle. To gargle, jarjar. So they say that there's many words in Arabic that indicate their meaning by their very sound. By the way that they sound, they indicate the meaning. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, يُجَرْجِرُ فِي بَطْنِهِ نَارٌ. He's gargling the fire into his belly. And if you reflect on other words in Arabic, you see that they also have a similar type of meaning. For example, سَلْسَلَةُ الْجَرَسِ. سَلْسَلَة, it means the ringing of a bell. سَلْسَلَة. Or we have زَقْزَقَةُ الْأَسَافِ. زَقْزَقْزَقْزَقْ sounds like a bird chirping, right, in the morning. So this is from the eloquence of the Arabic language, from the beauty of the Arabic language. We also have خَرِير الْمِيَاهِ. خَرِير, it sounds like the flowing. خَرِير, that's the flowing of a stream, the flowing of a river. And you have غَرَقَ. غَرَقَ means to drown. غَرَقَ, they say غَا is the sound of the water entering the throat. Ra is the person choking on the water, and qa is when he sinks to the bottom of the water. Gharaqa, he goes to the bottom. So you see the Arabic, it has words that indicate the meaning by the very sound. And here we see yujarjiru. Yujarjiru, it emphasizes that punishment, that he'll be gargling the fire in his throat. And also the scholars, yujarjiru, they say it's the sound of a camel when he drinks. The camels, when they drink water, they make a lot of noise in their throat. They have a long throat, right? So this is also indicating that type of sound, that the person will literally be choking on the fire, to make the emphasis that this will really happen to the person. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says that he will be drinking, he's only drinking the fire of hell. But when he drinks the water, is the water fire? The water is not fire. So what does he mean he's drinking the fire of hell? The scholars, they say there's two ways. This is a type of eloquence in the Qur'an, where the Qur'an talks about, or in the eloquence of the words of the Prophet ﷺ, but it's also in the Qur'an, where the Qur'an uses the word, or the Prophet ﷺ uses a word, for something that it will become. He says he's drinking fire into his belly, because in that water will become fire when he's punished for it. And an example of that is in the story of Yusuf ﷺ. Remember when he was in the prison, and he had two companions with him, and one of them, he came and he saw a dream, and he said, "Yusuf, you're a very righteous person. So tell me what the meaning of this dream is. I see myself squeezing, a'siru. Does anybody know the word? Khamra. He says, I see myself squeezing wine. But when a person squeezes the grapes, does wine come out? What comes out?
Juice.
Grape juice. So he didn't say, I see myself squeezing grape juice. He said, I see myself squeezing wine. So this is a type, what he meant is that this grape juice will become wine in the future. And so this is a type of use in language. So the Prophet ﷺ, he used a similar statement. He said that he's drinking fire into his belly, because that water will become fire when he's punished for it in the afterlife, because he's doing this great sin. So this is one of the meanings that we see from this hadith. Also, what we see from this hadith, beloved brothers and sisters, is that the hadith, it mentions the punishment for a person who drinks from gold and silver. But there's another subject, or another related subject, which is, what about the vessels that have silver plating? Right? A lot of people, they have at home silver plated spoons and forks, they have those cutlery sets, or even you have dishes that have a golden rim around it, right? Or you have sometimes a coffee mug, and on the top they have a golden rim, or the trim that is around the rim of the dish or around the rim of the cup. So what is the ruling? Does that go along with this prohibition, or is it a different ruling? The ulama, they say that the vessels that are made from wood and ceramic, for example, Imam Nawawi, he talks about this, and he says they fall into two categories. Gold-plated and silver-plated, and also you have what is gold-coated and silver-coated. And the scholars, they actually differentiated between gold-plated and gold-coated. And the reason, the way that they differentiate, this is mentioned by Imam Nawawi in his book on Majmu'ah, which is very interesting. He said that the way that we can differentiate between what is gold-coated and what is gold-plated is that if you put fire to it, then something that's coated with gold, the gold will start to drip. There's a lot of gold on it, or a lot of silver. And this gold-coated, of anything that's gold-coated, is haram. This is the same as if it was all made out of gold. If you have something made out of gold, and it has the gold on it, like a gold silver or a gold plate that's covered with gold, if you put fire to it, then the gold becomes liquid, then this is forbidden. It's as if the dish itself was all made out of gold. But what about if something is plated very lightly with silver or gold? What happens is it's a type of paint, and if you put fire to it, it turns black. There's nothing there, it's just a very little. So little there that the gold or the silver just turns black. If you take the spoon and put a fire to it, it just turns black. There's not enough silver or gold that could be measured, or it could be withdrawn. You could produce any gold or silver from those containers. So this is what Imam Nawawi, he divided gold and silver plated utensils into two categories. One which he called gold coated, and one that he called gold plated. And where did he get this ruling from? Where did he produce this ruling? It's actually based upon what happened in the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. You might have heard of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He was one of the great, some of the scholars, they call him the fifth rightly guided Khalifa. He's a very righteous man. And what happened is the ulama, when he became the Khalifa, there was on the wall of the masjid, there had some inscriptions. that were written by the Khalifas before him about the decrees that they had, and it was written in gold. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he was a very, very righteous person. He had a lot of zuhud. So he said, is this right that they use gold to inscribe on the wall of the masjid? So he gathered all of the ulama, and he asked them, what is the ruling on this? So the scholars, they said, if you're able to take that gold and scratch it with a knife and produce some gold from it or some silver from it, that it can be something that you can measure, they said, in this case, you should remove it because it's something measurable, something quantifiable. But if you went to scratch it and it's just paint and it just chips away and there's nothing there, then they said, in this case, leave it because it's not gold and it's not silver and it's not something that's forbidden. So because of that, based on that narration that took place in the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Imam Nawawi, he gives this ruling. If you have a gold or silver plate, or a gold or silver spoon, for example, if you scratch it with a knife, and you look at the knife and there's gold or silver on the knife, then he said, then this is haram, this is gold coated. This is enough gold that it makes it haram. But if you scratch it, you take a knife and you scratch the gold or the silver, and it's just paint that chips away and there's nothing on the knife afterwards, then he said, in this case, it's allowed, it doesn't come under the ruling of the type of gold and silver that's forbidden. So that's the general, you know, the general principle. And so in when it comes to what we have nowadays, for example, those little rims of gold or silver, the ulama, they say that's not enough that you could actually scratch it and produce something measurable from it. So then it's okay, it's overlooked, inshallah. So this is what the ruling regarding the dishes that have a small amount of gold and silver on it. And now we have one final subject. And that is, can we use gold and silver in cases of necessity? Say, for example, that a person, they need to have a tooth, a golden tooth, right? That put in the mouth. And the tooth, for example, the gold is considered the best metal to use because it doesn't decay. It doesn't become tarnished, but it remains clean. And so can a Muslim use gold? Can a Muslim man use gold for a tooth? The ulama, they say that this is allowed. And this actually took place in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, where a man, he injured his nose in a battle. And in order to do surgery at that time, they didn't have plastic surgery. So he had to use some type of metal to cover his nose where his nose was injured. And so he used other metals. He used silver, and the silver began to decay. It began to have some type of infection. So then he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, am I allowed to use gold? Because he knew that gold was forbidden for men. So the Prophet ﷺ, he gave him the rukhsa. Rukhsa means a dispensation or making something easy. So the Prophet ﷺ, he allowed to use gold for cases of necessity. Say somebody has an injury on their finger and they need to use metal, some type of silver, you know, to replace the bone, because it won't decay inside of the body. So then in that case, it's allowed. There's no harm in that, inshallah. So the scholars, they mention this. They talk about the usage of gold and silver in cases of necessity. Also, one last thing is there is a hadith that some scholars use to say you can use a little bit of silver in your clothing. For example, for buttons or for a zipper or for say like the edge of a pen, you can use some gold and silver. And they use the hadith, إِلْعَبُوا بِالْفِضَّ لَعْبًا. Make a light use of silver, or you can use playful use of silver. So some of the scholars, they use that hadith to say you can have a little bit of gold and silver for your cufflinks, for example, or for the buttons. However, the ulama state that hadith is ضعيف. That hadith is weak. And so it's not strong enough to be used as evidence. And so they say even in this case, we should avoid using it for buttons and cufflinks and things like that. Because the hadith here is very strong. A person who uses the gold and silver cups, and the scholars, they say this applies to other things as well. The majority of scholars, they say it applies to other usages as well, like pens and combs, etc. They say all of those are forbidden to to use because they're similar to eating and drinking. So that's the lesson for today, inshallah. And we ask Allah to benefit us by these words. And if there's any questions, inshallah, you're welcome to ask, inshallah ta'ala.